First and foremost, you will note that I have changed the name of our coming together. It is not a training class, but it is a seminar. Now, what is a seminar? Perhaps I will take this opportunity to show you what I do in order to facilitate my preparation. For example, what is the meaning of seminar? Well, what I do is I go to my computer, I go into a dictionary that is inside my computer, and I type the word seminar. And there I have the definition of the word. I would like to introduce to you this software. It is very useful for those who prepare sermons and other talks and so on. Now, this is a free software. It's called WordWeb. WordWeb. It is free. And anytime you are reading a commentary, or anytime you are short of a word, an apt word that you want to use in coming up with your outline, well, there is a dictionary always there. You don't have to rush for dictionary. So, what is a seminar? A seminar is any meeting for an exchange of ideas. And this is what it is today. It is not a training class where I train you, but it is a sharing of some ideas from me with some of you, because there are so many of you here who are perhaps more qualified than myself. And it is a course offered for a small group of advanced students. You are here because you are advanced. Otherwise, you will not be here. Alright, so we do not want to do with you any more dictionary. We come back to what we are supposed to do. And what are we supposed to do? Well, today we shall be dealing with session 1, the preparation of the message. And the text for our seminar is taken from 2 Timothy 2:15. Today we'll deal with the first part, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is the preparatory part in our getting ready a message to be delivered in time to come. We must study and we must show ourselves approved unto God. In other words, get into a relationship with God. When we have done all this, then we are ready to stand before others, and they will be able to see whether we are really a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, this will be our second session. So, let's go back to our notes. Now, in the introductory text, I put down there, I'm not a theologian, a seminarian, a Greek or Hebrew scholar. I do not know Greek. I do not know Hebrew, although I do read some Greek letters to know how to say them, how to pronounce them. But apart from that, I do not know the meaning of the word that the letters form. There are many of you who are better off than myself. Now, if at all, who should be standing here is not me, it's perhaps some of you here who should be here. I have no letters behind my name. I have no letters in front of my name. I do not qualify. In other words, even today, if I go to US and I go to visit a church, they can never invite me to speak in the church. Reason? I do not have letters behind my name. I am not ordained. I do not qualify. So you are having an unqualified person to teach you to qualify yourself to be speakers. Now, then who am I? I'm just like the student in 2 Timothy 2:15. I study the word, I work hard at the word. I'm like Paul in Galatians 1:17-18, who after having been saved would go to Arabia, and he would be there to be alone with God for 2 to 3 years, and then he would learn from God. He was a student in God's school, and that's what I had been all these years, just a simple student in God's school. I have no even university qualifications to qualify me to speak to you. I'm just an ordinary person. Now, why am I saying this? One of the techniques of speaking is, do not present yourself in a negative light. And here I am presenting myself in a negative light. But why do I do so? Because I want to motivate men, some of you here who do not have degrees in the from the university, who are just simple people like me when I was young, to study the word. Be in God's school. Moses was 40 years in the palace, in the Pharaoh's palace, to learn that he was somebody. God took Moses into the desert for 40 years to learn to know that he was a nobody. When he learned that he was a nobody, then the next 40 years, God made him into somebody. So you have got to learn to be nobody. Don't think that just because you are qualified from the university or a seminary, you are a qualified man. I'm sure you have seen some people who have string of letters behind their names, but who speak all nonsense on the pulpit. All right. Next, we go on to something else. Now, what therefore is that which we are trying to learn? It is a message. How to prepare a message? To prepare a message basically is to study a text or passage in the scripture, share it with others, what it purports to say as from the sovereign God. Like, let me analyze that sentence for you. To prepare a message, basically to study a text or passage, you have got to make the basis of whatever you want to say a text from scripture or a passage from scripture. It must be a scripture. Otherwise, don't say it. Now, this is the basic understanding of our seminar today. That what you are going to present later has to be from the word of God, either a text or a passage. Then you meditate upon that text or passage, and as the Lord opens up your understanding and your mind, then you present what you have obtained from the Lord, share it with others, and that is preaching. Share it with others. The purpose is to say what the Lord has said to you. You become his mouthpiece, you become his channel through whom the message comes. Therefore, it is not your message, it is his message. Hence, do not call what a person on the pulpit says a speech, or for that matter, a talk. I have heard a number of times already in my experience, after I have spoken, somebody will come and say to me, "Hey, Mr. Ang, wow, you gave a very great talk, you know, very interesting talk." I'm not giving a talk. "That was a very good speech, you know." I'm not giving a good speech. Let us all remember from the very beginning of this seminar that all those who dare to stand up here to speak for the Lord are messengers of God. And you are giving messengers from God. If you have no message from God, don't stand up here, because you will be giving a talk or a speech. What is the difference? It is what you personally want to say. If you just say it's a talk, you are not being a channel for the divine someone to say his message, where he is the communicator and you are the channel. It's a message. Psalm chapter 45 verse 1, my heart indicts a matter from the Lord. Now again, you see, here, let me show you again how I organize my work in the computer. I want to code a message. I want to find a message. The Bible is in my computer. So what I do is now, I just look up there, Psalm 45 verse 1. Oh yeah, Psalm 45 and verse 1. So I go to Psalm 45 and I go to verse 1. And there I have it already. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a red writer. You know, today, preparing a message is so easy on a computer. Easy in the sense that the facilities are there for you to use, for you to make use of them. So, before, I would run here and there, up and down, upstairs and downstairs, to get appropriate books. But today, everything is on my computer. So, let's go back to our PowerPoint. I'm now at my notes. My notes, alright. Here you are, notes. Okay. It is a message. It is a matter that our minds and our hearts meditate upon. Now, to prepare a message, we must realize that what we receive from God has to be a burden that burns into our lives. You know, I was a lecturer in the teachers' training college. I told my students, you give me half an hour notice and I can come into your class and give you a lecture on whatever aspect of the curriculum that you want me to, because I knew everything at my fingertips. It was that simple. I could just come into the class and I could just rattle away all the things that I wanted to say. Please note that this cannot be done with God's word. You know, those of you who have prepared messages before realize that to prepare half an hour message, mind, you take days, you take weeks, cannot sleep, cannot eat, and cannot talk to wives, cannot talk to girlfriends. You sacrifice everything for that half an hour speaking. And sometimes you wonder, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I will spend days preparing this. Days. And I wonder whether it's worth it. And many of the thoughts will come at the last minute. I explain to you why. So you must have a burden. You must have that burn in your life. Because when you give a message in the church, whatever you say, people will point a finger back at your life. At your life. So you say like this. Do you walk the talk? So in a lecture in college, people don't bother. But in the church, everything that you say must be proven out in life. Okay, so to prepare a message, therefore, one needs to pray and wait on the Lord and to meditate and study His word. You have to spend time with the Lord. Please, please, do not ever just copy a message. Today, there are many, many, many books on sermons. How to prepare a sermon, sermon outline, sermon written out in black and white, word for word. Just copy them. Please don't. The message you must obtain from the Lord. That's why it's called message, not a talk, not a speech. It must be a message. So, in order to prepare a message, one needs to consider certain things. Start early. That's important point. Start early. Study the text. Search other sources. Scribe your writings or your findings. Scribe your findings. Now, when Mr. Ong Eng Guan invited me to conduct this session about towards the end of last year, I had already been thinking of it. And as the thoughts came, I jotted them down. Today, I am also thinking of the time when he has invited me to come here and to give my testimony or my commendation. That's February, but I already have an outline in my computer as to what I'm going to say, certain things already. Then coming, I will be speaking on the year of the serpent. I've already got the outline out and trying to have the notes ready. So I'm going to Sungai Ara and Sungai Nibong to continue that, to have an open topic on Matthew. Yeah, they are studying Matthew now. So I was thinking to myself, how can I best give a message that will fit in with their studies? Then I've got to think about it. So I'm already prepared for all this. So a thought here, a thought there, a thought, and that's what you need to do if you want to prepare a message. Don't leave it to the last minute. Don't leave it to the next 1 or 2 days before the message. Don't. The moment you are told that you are going to give a study on such and such a topic, start thinking. Start waiting on the Lord. So, you are going to base your message on the Bible. And why is the Bible? The Bible is a book written centuries ago, communicated in languages and cultures different from ours, and in very varied and complex circumstances by over 40 composite authors who composed them. Let me analyze them for you, this sentence. The Bible was written centuries ago, to be precise, over nearly 1,005 to 2,000 years ago, communicated in languages which are different from ours. They speak English and Chinese and Tamil. Well, they speak Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and Babylonian too. And cultures so different from ours, Chinese, Indian, Malays, and in various kinds of circumstances, over 40 composite authors, over 40 authors, some of them kings, shepherds, fishermen, and so on. And yet I call them composite. What do you mean composite? Composite means very, very diverse in their lives, and yet they could all come together to, in one unity, to have one purpose to fulfill. And that's because God's message was running through all of them. And that's the whole idea. You are part of that composite message giving scenario where God uses you as a channel to send forth His word. So, because that is the case, you need tools to understand the Bible. Because it was written from so many years ago. So, what are the tools? Here, very quickly, I'm going to introduce to you the tools. Without tools, you can work. I work in the garden in my house. And I cannot work with my fingers. I have got to use a spade, I've got to use a shovel, I've got to use a chunkle, I've got to use the instrument that takes out the wheat and so on. I have got to use tools. So, you must use tools. Let me introduce some good tools for you. Right. Basically, the first one is, of course, the Bible. You must have a good Bible. Now, what are the types of Bibles that we can have generally? They can be divided into one, textual Bible, two, Bibles with marginal references, study notes, digital Bibles. Let me explain. Textual Bibles are Bibles that are commonly found in churches where it's just one Bible without marginal references in between. That's a Bible, textual Bible, only the text without marginal references. Then there are the marginal references. A Bible with marginal references will be a Bible where there are margins where there are references at the both sides of the text or in the middle. Now, if you want to buy a Bible, please get one of this type. You need a reference marginal Bible, because the reference margins there are very, very useful for you to connect and to associate and to link other verses from other places, so that when you prepare a message, all the various relevant verses are connected together, and you can refer to them and see whether you want them or not, want to use them or not. Oh. So, that will be marginal references. Study notes. I'll show you a book later on. If you do not have a marginal reference Bible, you can have a book that has only cross references. And that one is too tremendous for you, perhaps too challenging. I'll show you that book later on. Alright. Then, there are Bibles with study notes. If you choose Bibles with study notes, be careful, because some of study notes are not reliable. Not every Bible has good study notes. So you must know the author of those study notes. So be careful. Alright. Then, of course, it would be nice to have comparative versions and translations. Have different translations. Okay, what can we learn about translations? Now, translations can be divided into three parts when you buy a Bible. You can have, one, the literal translation. It can be expanded or amplified, dynamic, and paraphrased. Let me explain. What is a literal translation? A literal translation is a Bible which is as near as possible to the text. It is a translation of word for word. And one example is King James. King James is a literal translation, and because it translates word for word, it's so difficult to understand, because sometimes the translators cannot understand what it means. They just translate word for word. Apa khabar? Oh, apa khabar? Translate very easy. What news? Simple. And then you put in writing, what news? And you read, you don't understand if you are not a Malay. So, that's literal translation. But then you also have a dynamic translation. NIV is an example. NIV, wow, everybody likes it because it's so easy to understand. And NIV is in modern translation. So, apa khabar? Oh, how are you? Ah, that I understand. But not what news. Okay? Then you have the third type, paraphrase. Paraphrase is the easiest to understand. The English is so simple, the translation is so simple, that when you read it, you understand everything you don't understand. Because it is just a person's understanding of the Bible. And he paraphrases it in his own opinion, what he thinks it says. When you buy a Bible, be conscious that there are three types. Not every Bible is the same. Alright? Now, perhaps we can have a list of the Bibles to look at. Now, at this moment, Oliver Tree Bible offers an NIV Bible, an ESV Bible, NKJV, NIV, alright. Let me tell you. NIV Bible will be dynamic. It is a translation, meaning for meaning. Not word for word. Meaning for meaning. NASB is literal. That is New American Standard Version. And it is literal. NKJV, of course, is based on KJV, but it is in a language where the obsolete words have been got rid of and replaced with modern words. Then you have got New Living Translation. That is a paraphrase. Don't use it for study. Use it to compare if you want to. Amplified Bible. Not every Hebrew word or Greek word can be translated word for word. Sometimes you need more than one word to translate that particular word. And so the Amplified Bible is a translation where it uses more than one word, three or four words or five words, to translate one word in order to give you a better understanding of that one word. Then, of course, the Message is the new one, a paraphrase, and ESV Study Bible that has just come out, this is very popular now, ESV English Standard Version. Well, it is claim to be very evangelical and good. Well, but it is a big sidetrack to the Reformed group. So, that's the Bible. that you can, you are interested, you will go to Oliver Tree, and then the offers are there now, and that's the price for online Bibles, okay, if you want to buy. Pardon? Online Bible. US dollars, thank you. US dollars, they're offering now. Let's exchange ideas, exchange. This is a seminar. Okay. Then, of course, you have the English Standard Version. Now, this is a quote. The English Standard Version, ESV, because I'm not very familiar with it, it's so new, is an English translation of the Christian Bible. It is a revision of the 1971 edition of the Revised Standard Version. The translator's stated purpose was to follow an essentially literal translation. So it's literal. It should be good, in a way. Right. Then, of course, I think you can forget it. Those trendy Bibles, Bible for women, Bible for old men, Bible for young men, and so on and so on. Forget about it. All right. The Bible, very basic. Then there are some books that you must possess. You must build up a library of books. And if you are young, start now, so that as you grow on, you will have a big library at your disposal. First, to start with, you need dictionaries, Bible dictionaries. Now, you have the New Angus Bible Dictionary. These are the, now I'm supposed to share with you. So, I'm telling you what I do. These are books that I have, which I find useful. For, why do you need a dictionary? Can a normal dictionary do? No. The normal dictionary will just give you the meanings of words like seminar. But the normal dictionary will not give you a word like predestination clearly. So you need, or even the word rapture. So you need the Bible dictionary to give you the correct meaning. Holman Bible Dictionary, Easton's Bible Dictionary, Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible. I'll show you these dictionaries offered by Oliver Tree afterwards, so that I can go through quickly. Olive Tree. Thank you. Olive Tree. Right. The next one, analytical dictionaries. Now, analytical dictionaries are very important. The normal Bible dictionaries will give you dictionaries only of words. But the analytical dictionary, like for example, expository dictionary of Bible words by Lawrence O. Richards, word pictures in the New Testament, W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary, Mounser's Complete Exposure Dictionary, Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. Now, except for the last one, all the others are in my possession. Alright? I have them all. Now, the best one, of course, is W.E. Vine's. This is internationally accepted. Now, what are these analytical dictionaries? They are dictionaries which give you the definition and the interpretation of words, Bible words, so that you know how to interpret them correctly. You see, a word in the old, in the Bible, used thousands of over thousands of years ago, would not have the same meaning as today. Like for example, Mr. Sinapan was telling us this morning about words like give me some definition of one or two words that you gave. That's right. I was thinking of these words, but cannot come on. Binding and loosing, see, and so on. Now, we, to us, binding is just to get them together. Loosing is to lose, to get them lost. But it stays opposite in meaning. So you need to be careful. Alright? So you need expository dictionary to help you. Then, of course, you have what? Theological dictionaries. The new dictionary of the Christian Church. Because in the church, there are certain theological terms. And you must understand. For example, atonement. For example, the church, the word church itself, it has different meanings. So you need to go for a theological dictionary. Then you have got the theological dictionary of the New Testament, 10 volumes. Then you have, of course, you need concordance. A concordance is a reference book that gives you, helps you to find references when you can remember only one word or two words of a text. Very good for me. because I am very forgetful, and I have come to the stage where I cannot memorize Bible verses. I can remember one word or two words, for example, loose or bind. Now, where is that reference? I cannot find it. Okay, cannot find it? No problem. Where is it found? Okay. Loose, search. So you lose for search. Loose. And you know it's found in Matthew's Gospel, Mr. Sinapan? Matthew's Gospel. Okay, Matthew. So if you can narrow it down, it's easier still. Then you don't have other verses. So search. And there you are, three verses come out. Matthew 16:19, 18:18, 21:2. Mr. Sinapan was talking on Matthew 18:18 this morning. So there you are. This is the verse that you want. And you have it. So it's so simple. That's a concordance. Helps you to find a reference when you remember only one word or two words. And it will take you to that particular reference and you can use it. So it's very useful. So we do not want this anymore. Now, what are the concordances that are available? Alright. There are three groups, three main ones. They are strong, young, prudent. The strong is for the strong. The young is for the young. The prudent is for the crude people. Okay? Just remember that. I'm being sincere. Young is for those who are young. I like a young. Because although growing old, I'd like to feel young. So I treasure a young concordance. But unfortunately, young's concordance is not in the online market. It's all strong. All strong. Only the strong people want it. So never mind. I can be young and strong. But I do not want to be crude. The crudence concordance is not popular. Alright? So you get either young or strong. Very good. And it's all in the scriptures. It's in the Bible for you. Bible software, if you have it. For example, I want a concordance. Okay, no. Just start with choosing a concordance. I was choosing a concordance. You see? I wanted to find the verse just now. Alright? Rules in Matthew. And so, I searched for it, and I got it. So, there are three times the word loose is found. Occurs three times in three verses. So, this is how I prepare my message. Today, I don't run around the house, get crazy, searching for this book, searching for that book, bringing it out, and then laying on the table, and then trying to find out the relevant pages and so on. It's all on my computer. And therefore, you need to get a good computer, Bible software to help you. Okay. So let's go on. Concordance. Bible cross-reference. Now, this is the one that I referred to just now. The New Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge. This one, if you do not have a marginal reference Bible, and have reference margin in your Bible, then you need this. Alright, I'm very sure many of you have not seen it. So much so that I have brought this over to you. This is the one. And inside, if you want to find one word, like loose, is there. And it has other links. Concordance will give you only the word loose. But here, it will give you loose and bind, both together, or something else. It has references, cross-references, for word, for phrase, as well as for themes. So, as it reads there, the most complete listing of cross-references available anywhere. Every verse, every theme, every important word. This is one that, well, I found very, very valuable. But today, this is online. And it is not in my software here, but in my PC software, I have the software, and this treasury is in my software. So it's very easy. Everything is from there. Okay, commentaries. One volume commentary. Now, please, while it is good, I do not encourage. You have one book like this thick. Commentary on the whole Bible. What can you get out of it? What can you get out of it? You need more detailed Bible study. And today, many young speakers, they go for the Matthew Henry's commentary. Matthew Henry commentary, I do not recommend at all. Number one, it is too brief. Number two, it is too general. Number three, is too devotional. Number four, is too everything, but not good. Finish. So, do not go in for Matthew Henry. I can recognize a Matthew Henry's commentator that easily. Few times already, a speaker has been standing up on the pulpit, and after the message, I would go to see him. Did you use a Matthew Henry for your help just now, for your message? Yeah, Matthew Henry. I said, don't rely on it too much. Alright, there are other good ones. At least, well, when I first started, I started with Jefferson Fawcett Brown. This is not an assembly commentator, but it is quite good because it goes to the Greek and to the Hebrew to explain. I would recommend commentaries that will give you the Greek and Hebrew interpretation. Now, go for some of the Bible commentaries. The brief ones that I enjoy the most and I feel the most reliable for the small volumes will be the first one, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Walworth. And they belong to our school of thought. They are pre-millennial. So it's very good. You need to get these two volumes. Then you have the Pulpit Commentary, 77 volumes. I have it in my computer. That is another very good one. Very, very good one. Very detailed Bible commentary. The Expositor's Bible Commentary by Frank Gebelin, 12 volumes. That one is excellent. But what is excellent, it also presents other viewpoints. And you have got to know which are the right ones. So, but Frank Gebelin is from our school of thought, therefore is on the whole very reliable. Believer's Bible Commentary that by William MacDonald, this is very, very popular among the assemblies. Although, very frankly speaking, I find it a bit on the shallow side. Kill and Delete, Old Testament, they are authorities. I think you cannot find a better one. 10 volumes, Kill and Delete. They are not from our school of thought. Barnes Notes is a millennial, 12 volumes. Calvin, of course, is Reformed Teaching. NIV, Application Bible Commentary, 22 volumes. I do not go in for that very much because I feel it too academic. Then you have John Carson's Application Commentary and the Preacher's Commentary. I think this may be the next one I may buy because from the report it seems to be good. I'll show you afterwards. Alright, let's go to see these commentaries. On Offer by Olive Tree. Alright, Eastern Bible Dictionary. It's free, given when you apply for the Bible study application. Edmund's Dictionary. 600 Bible authorities. This dictionary reflects recent archaeological discoveries and the breadth of current biblical scholarship. This is the Vine's complete expository dictionary I was talking about. This classic reference tool has helped thousands dig deeper. Mounser's Dictionary, complete expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words. It is an electronic edition nearly 48,000 biblical references in its hyperlinks. The Theological Dictionary, 10 volumes. The Bible Cross Reference, Treasury of Scripture, is the one, $6.49. Very cheap. But of course, it's online. Online. Alright? US, yes. Keep on reminding me, it's US. You just came from US. Alright. Then, Matthew Henry's Commentary, $9.99. Zondervan Bible's Commentary, this is a good one too. It was a new international Bible commentary before. This one, the one I fully recommend, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, very good, and it's only $18.99. Offer Calvin's Commentary, this is Reformed teaching, be very careful. NIV Bible Commentary, for those of you with university degrees and can appreciate academic vocabulary, okay, not me, simple. Cousin's Application Commentary, this is new, I'm not sure what it's all about. Preacher's Commentary, from the description, this is something I would like to look for. It says that this set contains the entire Preacher's Commentary 35 volume series. And it's $44.99 only. It's cheap. So there are. Then the next one after dictionary we talk of is Encyclopedia. Now, why do we need encyclopedia? The encyclopedia is different from a dictionary. The encyclopedia brings into discussion the culture, the background of what is being discussed. So it's a very important. This is a 5-volume edition, provides up-to-date entries of scholarship. Then you have the ISBE. This is very, very popular and very internationally recognized. 10,000 articles. This is an authority. It's a good one. Okay, now, this is just a photo of the books that are in my home. It's only one cupboard. Alright? So, this cupboard contains all the reference commentaries, reference. The next one contains all Bible books. You see, I do not encourage you to just buy one Bible commentary on the whole Bible. This one has one volume for every book in the Bible, from Genesis right down to Revelation. Every book. You see, let's take an example. You get a commentary, one volume like this, whole Bible, and here is one commentary on the whole book of Psalms. Look at this one. So, what can you learn from one volume commentary? So, for your information, all these books I bought either when I was a young student, a young teacher, and in my young days. Later on, I did not buy anymore. Today, I don't buy any more books. I have no more place to keep. These are only two. There are three or four more. I dare not show you. If I show you, my wife will not be happy with me. Very untidy. These are only two tidy cupboards. So, very quickly now, that comes to the end of our tools. You have, of course, the others you can refer to them in the notes. Alright, they are all there in your notes. Finally, Bible software. I like to refer to the internet sources, other sources. Internet. Today the internet is full of Bible sources. Tremendous amount. My advice is, because of the diversity and usefulness, there are dangers because of deception. There is a dereliction because of doctrines. You have to be careful. Now, I have heard a few times already from the pulpit in our assemblies, a speaker speaking on, especially on the subject of prophecy, then I found out that the comment was not very biblical. And I went to that person and I said, you took this from the internet. Yes. You can take your sources from the internet, but do please be careful, because there are so many, many things. Let me tell you this, very frankly, again, very humbly, I never prepare so far, I never take a sermon from the internet to prepare any message of mine. Never. Even this study, I could have taken it from so many resources, how to speak, how to prepare, and so on in the internet. Not a single part is taken from the internet, except just for references. So, you need to spend time with the Lord in order to really come to grips in the preparation of the message. Alright, it's only about the tools only, you know. And it's time already, 45 minutes gone. Okay, never mind. I know what I'm doing. We'll just have a break. And after that, we'll come back in 10-15 minutes time. And then we'll carry on. Because the second part is actually supposed to be a workshop. And we'll do the workshop together with my sharing of how to prepare a message. Okay, we'll have a pause here. Is it ready? Huh? Oh, you want to check again? Is it ready?
5 minutes for questions.
Okay, alright, we'll pause for a while, have questions. Actually, I have planned it in such a way that this should, the first part of the seminar should be 1 1/4 hours. And then have a 15 minute break, another half an hour of workshop, how to prepare. I share it with you, and then the last 15 minutes for questions. But you can have questions now if you want to.